pastor back in Michigan, he used to have a little side topic when he would preach, and he'd preach that, and he'd say that was just my commercial. So, you know, he'd have a little side point. And I've got one this morning, of letting the Bible explain itself, and I'm going to be in Revelation chapter 3 to begin with, verse 11, and he's talking to, I think it was the Thessalonian church, 3:11. But anyway, Jesus is saying, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." You know, he's talking about someone taking your crown. And I mentioned it here before that they ain't going to wear your crown. They don't want you to have it. You know, they want to take your crown, the crown of life that the Lord has earned for us. It's nothing that we have done. But he said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is in Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And in the verse here is in verse 12 that I'm questioning, not questioning the Bible at all, but it says, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out." You know, and you think of that like being in church or being in a temple somewhere, and you're in there and you can never more go out. And I think about that. You know, the Bible says that he's going to do that. He'll make you a pillar in the church, in the temple, I should say, and you'll never more go out. And that might not seem like that good a deal. You know, you read that and in the flesh, especially if you read it in the flesh, about being somewhere. I love the church. I've said that before. I love the church I go to now. But being put in that church and never more go out, that don't seem right. You know, that there's something wrong there. You know, I'd want to go out and eat. You know, of course they could bring me food in there. I'd have to go somewhere else to eat it. You know, the way we believe, we don't believe in eating in the church, but we have a fellowship hall for that. But the idea of going in, being in a temple and never more go out, and if you just stop reading the Bible there, you'd wonder what was going on. But the Bible will explain itself, you know. And I puzzled over that. Sometimes when I find a scripture like that, I just accept it the way it is and what it is and just go on. But then sometimes God will reveal, you know, what the meaning is. And here you go to Revelation 21, almost to the end, you know, Revelation 21:21. And it says, it's talking about the heavenly city. It says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl," you know, the pearly gates. "And the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein." He said, "I saw no temple," John says, "but for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." You know, in other words, God and Jesus are going to be the temple of it. You know, you'll be in Jesus and never more go out. And I said, when I saw that, I said, "Sign me up." You know, I'm ready for that. You know, that sounds good to me. And it said, never more go out. You know, when you think of the God and the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, being the temple of it, you know, then it makes sense not ever to go out. Why would you want to leave such a one as him? Praise God. Like they said it when he was speaking, he said, "Never man spake like that man."
That's right.
And he said, "The city had no need of the sun, and neither of the moon." And you know, scientists will tell you that the sun is burning out. It's going to be gone in a few billion years or whatever they tack on it. You know, they said that, well, the moon, it might leave or something, go somewhere else. But it says, "You need not the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." So that is my commercial for today. You just let the Bible explain itself. If there's something you don't explain, that you don't see right away, keep on reading in the Word. Get yourself a good reference Bible and look around. And sometimes, you could have found that if you were referencing by looking up the word temple, because the word temple comes in both passages you would have found that the temple of God, that God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of that new city. Praise God. Well, we're going to talk about some scientific matters today. I don't know how many people are science fans. Usually I try to stay away from science to get all that evolution going and all that mess. You know, I don't want to go in with that. But they've been exploring in outer space, and they're starting to talk about what they call dark matter and dark energy. And it kind of caught my ear listening to that, dark matter and dark energy. And what they found, they've looked at galaxies out in outer space, and especially on the edge of the Milky Way, where our galaxy is, where our sun is, and where we rotate around that. And I believe that. I believe the Earth is a sphere. It's a kind of a, what do they call it, an ovate sphere. It's kind of bulges at the equator. It bulges a little bit by a few, I don't know if it's a few miles or what it is. I forget now, but I heard one place where it was so many miles thicker. And I believe if you weigh yourself at the North Pole, you'll weigh one weight, and you weigh yourself at the equator, you'll be heavier because there's more matter pulling you down on the equator. But anyway, they talk about dark energy, and they talk about all this mass, and you know, they work out the formula for, like, Halley's Comet comes around every, what was it, 78 years or something, whatever it is, but they've got it all figured out by the weight of it, by its orbit, and they can tell when it's going to come back. They've used their mathematics, and they worked that out. And but they looked at the little star clusters at the edge of the galaxy, and they said they're being held together more close than they ought to be. You know, there's something holding them together that we can't see. They looked at the mass of the stars. They figured that. They used their little mathematic formula. And I think it was a lady that worked on this, one of them anyway, and other scientists are working on it. And they said there's just too much gravity there. Something is there that we can't see. And so they started talking about dark matter and dark energy, and they come to conclusion at looking at all the formulas and all the math, and they said that that what we actually see in the galaxy is only about 5 or 6% of all the matter that's out there. There's matter, 95%, up to 95% of the matter. And they lump energy in there too, is what we don't see, you know. So that got my ears up, you know. And I looked in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it said, "Well, we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And we know that we look into heaven, we can't see God. We know heaven is up there, but we can't see it, you know. Could that very well be that dark matter that we can't see? There's a place in the Bible that said God is hiding his face from man. You know, he's not going to get under your microscope. He's not going to get in front of your telescope and wave howdy. You know, he's not going to do that. You know, by the wisdom of man, you know, we're not gonna find out about God. Is it God? I'm going to get into that a little bit later. I'm getting a little ahead of myself in the 1 Corinthians. But this was 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we look not at the things which are seen. You know, the things we see, you know, some people will say, "Oh, I wish I saw a miracle. I wish I could just see one of the miracles of God." Well, my friend, everything you look at, everything you see in this world is a miracle. You know, I'm looking at a piece of wood. It's the pulpit, the little lectern, I guess you'd call it here, that we have our Bible sitting on. And there's microphones hanging, and everything in here, glass windows and things like that. That's all a miracle, because at one time there was nothing, and God spoke the word, you know, and said, "Let there be light," you know, and he created all things. You can look in the first chapter of Genesis, where God created the heaven and the earth, you know, by the might of his power. Everything you see is a miracle. Praise the Lord. You know, the things which are seen are temporal. He said there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth one day, you know. And so all this, the weight, you know, it's out there, but we can't see it. It's hidden. You know, some would say, well, it's in a different dimension, and I'll go along with that. You could call it that if you want to, but it's something that's out there. It's amazing that they can see the gravity of it. And one of the things they do is that the stars that are behind this matter that they're saying is dark matter, the light is actually bent around that. They can see lensing. And sometimes there's galaxies and other stars behind this that'll make more than one copy of it. You know, out there in the sky, there's maybe four images, because it's like holding up a marble in front of your eyes, and you look into that, you know, or maybe a heavy lens, you know, looking through a lens, and it distorts everything. But that's what they're seeing in outer space, and they can't figure out what that is, and they're ascribing it to dark matter and dark energy, what they call it. But we realize in the Word of God that there are things that we just can't see. You know, God is out there. We know He's there. You're not going to see Him, but because He's hidden from us. You know, but one day it says that God will roll the heavens up. It'll part like a scroll, and I believe that's when we'll be able to see that dark energy, and we'll be able to see what's dark now will be light. You know, we'll see it. And also in Hebrews 11:3, there's another verse that talks about dark matter. In a way, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, out of nothing God created the heaven and the earth, and the things which were seen were not made of things that do appear. And I'm going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning around 21, I believe. Let's see. Okay, I'll start back in 17. So I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not. Paul was saying he wasn't sent to baptize people. It said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. You know, the being just wise in your words and all that. He didn't want the cross of Christ to be of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. You know, that cross, you know, how I've heard it said many times in out of the pulpit, that how can the red blood, you know, cleanse us of our black sins, you know, and make us white as snow? But God has allowed that to be. He's made it. That's the way it is. That's the way you're cleansed. You must be born again. You must be washed in the blood. It said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You wonder how that can be. You know, like old Nicodemus, he said, how can those things be? Can I get back in my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, no, you must be born from above, you know. But it's to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And we look at those scientists all looking out there, and they know there's something there. They can't see. They see the effect of it, but they still can't see it. And they wonder why they can't see it. You know, it's just confounding them. And I believe the more they look into it, the more confused they're going to get. You know, it's just going to be amazing. You know, as they look out into outer space, they've got they got telescopes now in outer space that they're looking at that they couldn't see. You know, on the Earth they had telescopes, but always there was the atmosphere there that was messing up their vision. You know, it would distort everything. They couldn't get a clear image. Now they have a Hubble telescope, and they've got other telescopes and radio telescopes and infrared, all that different kind of things. They got that all going now, and they're seeing things for the first time out there that they've never seen before. And they wonder, why can't we see this dark matter? You know, so they call it dark matter and dark energy. Well, the Bible explains why. It said, where is the wise, and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, by the wisdom, but with all the telescopes and microscopes and all the instruments they've got, they can't find God. Praise God, for after all that wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You know, we can't use wisdom. He's not going to show up in our science and all those things. He's not into that. He's not out there to show off. He is God, you know, and there's none other. Praise God. He made all things. It said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows his handiwork. Praise God for that. And amen. It pleased God, it says here, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, like I was saying. Show me a sign, they said. And Jesus wouldn't do it. And the Greeks, it says, seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. You know, even the very weakest things that God does is way stronger than man. You know, praise God. And the foolishness of God is wiser than man. You know, he talks about that sometimes in the Bible. He talks about he made a certain bird, I think it was birds, but there's a bird, ostrich, I think it was mentioned. I don't know if he's really talking about the ostrich, but the King James calls it an ostrich. He says, I made that bird, and it'll lay its egg in the ground. You know, it lays it on the sand, and not realizing that someone could step on it and break it. And he said, I made that bird foolish on purpose. He said, you know, to do that. You know, it lays an egg and then walks away. And I guess the sun warms up the sand, and the egg eventually hatches if nobody steps on it or eats it. But ostrich egg is pretty strong, though. I understand they use them for bottles here and there. But God said he made them that way. And some are wise, you know. Some animals are smarter than others. He did that. He said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, which are mighty. The base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, you know, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And that was a quotation from the book of Psalms, I believe. It says, let not the rich man glory in his riches, and let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, but let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. You know, God is the one that gives wisdom. He's the one that gives understanding. He's the one that supplies all things. There's the verse in Psalms. It said, Lord, thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. You know, we eat from God's hand. You know, he created that. It says he rains upon the just and upon the unjust. He gives us our food. He gives us our food in due season. You know, we thank God for all that we have today. It is wonderful. Praise the Lord. Let's see. It says, I've got a note here about Isaiah 64 and 4. It said, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, and neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee. Talk about dark matter. Neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. You know, God has prepared a wonderful thing. We sing about that mansion, bright and blessed. You know, that's out there too. And you look in the book of Revelation about the size of it, and if you work it out, it's around 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles high. You know, that's quite a place. That's got some mass to it, and God has got that. And I wonder, you know, it says it's made of transparent gold. I think it's really transparent right now. We can't see it. You know, we're looking right through it. It's out there, but we can't see it. It's part of that dark matter, a great mass, that's city. You know, it's amazing to me, that 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles, it's big enough to be a country. It don't have to be a city, but God said, no, it's going to be a city. You know, he calls it a city, you know, and I thought about that. Here in North Carolina, we've got Duke, up in Durham, and we got the Tar Heels in Raleigh, I guess it is, or the Fayetteville, not Raleigh.
Raleigh.
Yeah, up in Raleigh, and they got one city against another one, they're all against the Duke, and the Duke is against the Tar Heels, and there's this rivalry going on. But God said, no, it's going to be one city. It's going to be one team up there to cheer for. We're going to cheer for the Lord. It's going to be great. There's not going to be any competition that way, because God is God. He is wonderful. He's perfect. You don't need anything else if you got Him. Praise God. He is everything. Like I said, He opens His hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. There's nothing that we have that didn't come from Him. Of course, there's sin and things like that, but He's got the solution for that too. That hatred and all the things going on in this world, one day it's going to come to an end. Praise God. We're going to go from here to Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to hear about the Lord, what He'll do for you. Amen. In Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come ye, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? I've used that on cigarettes. It said, wherefore do ye spend money on that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. That's something you need to look up in the Bible. That sure mercies of David is mentioned several times, but David sinned. David had done wrong. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he remembered what happened to Saul, how Saul had an evil spirit from God come and torment him the rest of his life, and he died in battle, and he ended up committing suicide in the battle, falling on his own sword. And David thought of all those things, and he said, Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David was worried about that, and he found, I think it was Nathanael, told him, you're the man, that had done that, and he also told him, God is forgiven you, He's forgiven you, but you're going to have trouble in your family. The sword is not going to depart, and sure enough, all the other troubles that David had was due to that sin that he'd done, but he still found those sure mercies. He said, Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God. That's us Gentiles talking about us. I've come from Ireland and Scotland, but here I am, worshiping the one true God, the God of Israel. Praise God. It said, because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let them return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh to bring forth and bud, and that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. It's almost, I've got about 3-4 minutes yet to be preached here, but that's a wonderful thing. He said that word, I use that quite a bit, that scripture. It said that the word would not return unto God void. It's not going to come back. He's not just talking, things that don't make sense. He's not talking things to no avail, but that word will never return void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. You know, one time I was praying. I do a lot of praying, but I looked at the world, and it seemed like people weren't receiving the gospel, which they still are. Seem like they have trouble receiving it now. And I said, Lord, why is your word bound? You know, I prayed that way. I said, unbind your word. Why is your word bound? And he let me pray that about three times. But the third time I mentioned it, he said, look, my word is not bound. You know, his word cannot be bound. How can you bind God's word when he said, let there be life? There was life. And when he said, let there be light, there was light. You know, you can't bind God. God is the greatest. You know, God is all powerful. You know, there's no way to bind the word of God. And he got angry with me for saying that. And he corrected me. But he's a good God. You know, we always say that because he saw I had an error in my thought. He wanted me to think right. And he said, my word can't be bound. You know, what do you, and I never brought that up again, but you know what happens is our hearts, you know, and our sins separate us from God. But like the scripture said here, it says, call upon him while he's near, you know, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, don't matter what you've done in your life, you can find pardon. You can find those sure mercies of David in him. You know, praise God. It's a wonderful thing, and his word can't be bound. You know, it's impossible. You know, he is almighty, and almighty is almighty. I mean, he knows all things. You know, he sees all things. There's nothing hidden from his eyes. So everything that happens to you, God knows about it ahead of time. And he's got a solution for it, for temptation. He said he'll make a door of escape for you. He's got everything worked out, you know, and I praise God for that. And that dark matter, I don't worry about it. One day, it's not going to be dark anymore. You know, it's going to be visible. God will roll back what we see now, these things we see, you know, and one day we'll be able to see plainly what he's got in store for us. I just praise God for his mercy, for his loving kindness today. I believe we can turn that back over and we'll close out the program. Praise the Lord. God bless.